Welcome to the Roadman Cycling Podcast. My name is Anthony Walsh. 6 days a week, we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you on your journey towards health, happiness, and longevity. Now let's get into the show.
Well, hello, all you beautiful cyclists. It's Sarah, and as ever, I am here for my Saturday solo cast. And I'm kind of approaching cycling from a newbie's perspective. And today I want to talk about the biggest winter training mistakes that we see at Roadman Cycling all of the time. We see people making them day in and day out during the winter months. We've been inundated over the last couple of weeks with questions about winter training. Now, we know that for the pros, the off season and winter training, it's become a very crucial time on the bike where they can make these huge improvements. Now, I know most of us and most of the listeners aren't pros, but we can definitely take some lessons from their approach and, you know, bring it into our own winter months. The professionals, you know, gone are the days of when athletes and people of professional sports where the off season just meant completely, you know, putting your feet up, having your local takeaway on speed dial. I actually always think about the famous boxer Ricky Hatton, Ricky the Hitman Hatton. When I think of somebody embracing their off season, he was, you know, a great man for the takeaways and the pints. I think he was a Guinness fan. And in the off season, he'd sometimes put on over 40 pounds. But this guy, he was so good at getting back into great nick for fight night though as well. And that was a trend that he followed for most of his fighting career. So putting on a lot of weight, taking off a lot of weight, and it's definitely not what we're advocating here. So after a little bit of rest at the end of the season, you can really focus on building and reaching the next level for the following season. Quickest hack to having a perfect winter season is to get a coach. Now, I have a coach and it has completely transformed my training, and I've started doing a little bit of coaching, and I can see the progression that people who've been trying to figure it out on their own are getting from having a little bit of structure. But here are some other basic tips and mistakes that I just do not want to see any of you making. So the first mistake, it's easy, it's simple. You don't even have to put your kit on for this one. It's not having a bloody clue as to what your goals are. You're just going out there, you're riding around on your bike with no endpoint, you've got no focus. So make some goals. If you listen to yesterday's podcast, at the moment, I am flat out researching and signing up for some gravel races for next season. Now, I am not going over to these gravel races to win them or be super competitive or be at the pointy end, but I'd still like to do my best, right? I want to be fit enough to get around the course comfortable. I want to enjoy the day without feeling like, you know, after the race, F that bike, that effing bike, I hate it, I'm never getting on it again. So what do I need to do in order to reach those goals? Well, I need to stay consistent with my training. I need to lose a bit of weight, probably. I need to improve my bike handling skills. I need to get better at bike mechanics in case something happens to my bike while I'm out there on the course. And, you know, if something bad happens, I can fix it. I don't have to quit the race. I need to have a focus on fueling. I need to have a focus on rest. So take 5 minutes and write down your goals for next season. You have to have an endpoint. You need a goal. And then when you do that, you need to spend another 10 minutes breaking down everything you need to do to reach that goal. So would you like to win a road race? Do you want to get promoted? Do you want to go on a bikepacking trip? Do you want to do an ultra race? Do you want to just beat your cycling buddies? You know, that guy who's in your club and he's so smug, he beats everyone up that hill on the Saturday spin. Maybe you want to beat him. Maybe in 3 months' time, you want to leave him in your dust. So whatever your goal is, get it clear in your head and write it down. Vividly describing your goals in written form, it's really strongly associated with goal success. And there's studies, loads of studies that have shown that participants who write down their goals, that they achieved those goals at much, much higher levels than those who didn't. And in fact, you become 42% more likely to achieve your goals and dreams by writing them down on a daily basis. So that is something that I am certainly going to try. I think it makes a lot of sense. It focuses your brain. Now, I am a little bit lazy with that. It's not that I don't think that goal setting is important, but sometimes I just think, oh, maybe those 15 minutes of goal setting could be better spent on the bike. But that is the wrong approach. So please, please take this advice. Second mistake It's doing too many miles too early before you're ready for it. So looking forward to your winter training, you've been online researching how to have the perfect winter. You'll have come across a million articles, blogs, vlogs, YouTube, podcasts talking about doing a ton of miles and that you need to shed a load of time on your bike. So loads of time really slowly on the winter base miles, base endurance. And yet this is great winter training because you know what? You're so motivated right now. You're dying to smash those goals. You've been writing down every day what your goals are, and that's brilliant. You're motivated. You're ready to get stuck in, but you need to make the training harder progressively through the winter months and not this kind of huge jump from riding, let's say 10 hours per week to riding 25 hours per week. If you do that, you will get in trouble. If you're starting more than you can handle, as I said, winter is traditionally a time to put in the big miles. But if you go all in your first month and you don't give your body time to adjust to the new volume, you'll end up getting injured or you'll end up overtraining. You'll start to lose motivation. And we don't want to lose all, you know, we don't want to use all that pent up motivation all in 1 week in the winter and be burnt out by the summer. So think about the maximum amount of hours that you can sustain based on work, family, social life, you know, other commitments that you have, and, you know, your own physical ability. And then at the start of the winter, try starting out at roughly 2/3 of that and slowly building up over the course of a month until you reach that maximum. Once you do that, then you can start to build up your training stress through increasing the intensity. And you should be doing this as you're getting closer to your race season. Plus, at this point, you know, it's good to be adding in some more race-specific efforts. Next up on the winter training no-nos is comparing your peak fitness to your winter fitness. So you've been flying it all season and your FTP is better than it's ever been. You've done a ramp test and you are in great nick. Then you test during the winter season and, you know, it's down, and it's down a lot. You're disheartened, but it's okay. It's okay to be less fit in the winter. Now, it sounds counterproductive, but we're actually looking to lose some fitness. Your fitness, it just cannot increase and increase at the same rate forever without plateauing. It just cannot go up and up and up. And so the best way to overcome plateau is to rest and then rebuild. So the rest would be your off season that you just had, a couple of weeks off the bike, and now you'll be less fit than you were. But now is the time to rebuild so that you can, you know, hopefully reach a higher level of fitness than you previously had when you get into the race season. Okay, so it can be really tempting to make the next mistake, and I've definitely been guilty of this, especially when you're trying to squeeze in extra miles on the bike, and that is not taking your recovery ride seriously. So during the winter, when people are obsessed with getting in those slow, long rides and trying to squeeze in extra hours, they start to add time onto their recovery rides as well. Having a longer or harder recovery ride, it's not going to benefit you. It's actually going to do the exact opposite. Your recovery ride should be putting so little stress on the body that you should actually feel better after a recovery ride, because you got your legs moving and you cleared them out on your recovery ride. So you cleared out all that fatigue. You shouldn't be going anywhere, even near or over 50 to 55% of your functional threshold power. But you know what? I think for recovery rides, it's also a great spin. Stick your Garmin or your Hammerhead or, you know, your Wahoo bike computer in your pocket and just ride it on feel. Just, you know, stay cruisy. Forget about those grannies that are passing you on their bikes with the baskets. When you see that cyclist up ahead of you, don't try and catch up with them. Just, you know, stay zen, stay stoic, stay chilled. I know it's hard for those of us who are kind of competitive, but this is your recovery spin, and try and focus on that recovery. Try and make sure that your recovery ride isn't much longer than an hour as well. If you're in the middle of a winter training block where you're doing a load of volume, there's just no need to add volume to your recovery rides. And finally, the last mistake. It's that old mantra, okay? It's raining, we're training. It's, you know, this kind of saying that these old school riders kind of have come up with, that, you know, it calls people out for training indoors, and if it's raining and you don't go training, you're soft, you're not a real bike rider. Don't fall into this trap. There's nothing wrong with using indoor trainers and tools like that to supplement your winter training. Yeah, we want to build long endurance base miles, but putting an indoor session, you know, a sweet spot session or a threshold effort session, it's not going to ruin your form, and there's still loads of benefits to training this way during the winter months. Winter is also an incredible time to focus on how you can improve strength and power on the bike. Incorporate some strength and conditioning into your winter training, and also some core work and some flexibility, and that will really set you up for smashing those cycling goals next season. So folks, that's it for me today. I'd really love when you write down your goals that you've set for yourself, and a couple of points on how you're going to achieve them, or if you've any questions about how you should go about achieving them, pop me an email, because if you send those to me, I can be your accountability buddy and hopefully I can help you out a little bit. My email address is sarah@roadmancycling.com, and I would absolutely love to hear from you. So until next week, you beautiful, sexy cyclists. Mwah! Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Have you ever wondered how good you could actually be? Each of us has a unique set of circumstances with work, family, and social obligations, but we also want to fulfill our potential in cycling. Okay, maybe you won't ever win the Tour de France, but for most of us, this isn't what cycling is about. So let us build you the perfect training plan around your lifestyle that's totally unique to you and will help you finally realize your cycling dreams. So whether you're just getting started on the bike, or if you're a more seasoned cyclist, we have a suitable coach for you. So why not schedule a call with us, and we can have a chat about how we can help you go further than you ever dreamed of in your cycling and fitness goals. Go to roadmancycling.com/contact, or pop me an email directly to sarah@roadmancycling.com.